Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, brother. Thank you for tuning into the Word of God through Jesus Christ, Street and Outreach Telecast. This is Apostle Alan Coleman again with you tonight. This morning, rather, it is 12:30 a.m. on the 19th of May, 2016, and we are live in the city of New Haven, Eastern Standard Time. I'd like to ask you to stay with me in Jesus' name in prayer. Now, while God has me open up with prayer, I'd like to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 27. Very familiar scripture, but I pray that tonight or this morning, as the Lord bless us to examine it and discuss it, I pray that it be a dynamic blessing to you. Matthew chapter 27. And while you're doing that, Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you asking you, first of all, to forgive us for our sins and shortcomings. Forgive us for our faults and for our wrongs. Thank you, Lord, for how you have ministered to us throughout this day. Thank you for the way you brought us into another day. It's a half hour, 31 minutes after the turn of a new day, according to our time clock. We ask in Jesus' name that you minister to us tonight, minister to us this morning, give us something to take with us for the rest of the day. When you bless us to wake up this morning, allow us to still remember something in this lesson that is going to help us get through this day, that's going to help us to face the trials and the things that come against us this day. We ask, Lord, that you do the checking and bless us to pay attention to you in the name of Jesus. For you are the Christ. You are the anointed one. Not us, but you. We are anointed by you, but you are the epitome of anointing. The yokes are destroyed by the anointing. Your anointing, by you, whom you set free, is free indeed. And we just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. Father, I ask that you make me usable and use me. Fill me with the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and give us all a spiritual understanding of your word. Allow me to decrease that you may increase. You do the teaching and feed your people. These are your people, Lord. No matter where they're hearing us at, whether in their car, whether by CD, whether in another country, whether on the internet, whether in the archives, whether on demand, it doesn't matter. These are your people. Feed them, talk to them, minister to them, and allow me to be sensitive to your words and your movement so that I go as you lead and say what you give unto me to say. I need you to minister this through me and allow me to hear as well. In Jesus' name we thank you and we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Again, I'd like to ask you to turn to Matthew 27. And while you're reading that, or while you're turning there, as is the custom of this broadcast and the manner of how God uses us in this ministry, I'm going to let the Lord use me and read the description of this lesson. The scene was intense. Jesus on the cross. Pilate tried to act innocent. The people were all trying to exercise authority. They were making history and not even knowing it. They were a nation sealing their own fate. Barabbas was getting out of jail. The disciples were watching all that was happening. The Roman centurion was about to have something very important revealed to him. Nature was getting ready to display unorganizational traits. The curtain in the temple was getting ready to be torn in two. There were going to be many graves open, but the bodies not yet coming out of them. People were going to be challenging the Lord of glory as they walked by him on the cross and wagged their heads. Angels were watching this event, not understanding this plan of salvation. Demons were salivating, assuming that they had the upper hand. Everything was focused on the cross. Then it happened. The Holy Ghost left the disguise that he wore for 3 3/4 years. He was going back into the spirit realm. He was going to interrupt a rejoicing about Jesus' trial, but they didn't understand that the error wasn't his, but it was theirs. Now, salvation was offered to those that accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and soon to be risen Savior. He snatched two keys from Satan, and then he went to Abraham's bosom and depopulated it. As the angels were escorting the redeemed souls to the third heaven, the Holy Ghost has one more stop to make. He had to go into the tomb and raise that body up. This is part one of the teaching series entitled Jesus the Christ. Grab your Bibles, pens, and papers, and let's delve into the Word of God, and let's feast. Oh, Father, we thank you. We just thank you. God knows we thank you. Matthew chapter 27, we're going to be verses 24 through 54. I'm in the King James Version, and it reads on this wise. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there and set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him the drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. I asked the Lord what the thought was for this lesson, and he gave me none. But when he gave me the title, he says, simply saying, the trial with no error. Father, in Jesus' name, we come back before you. We come boldly to the throne of grace. This is a very interesting account in your word of what happened when you was on that cross. Oh, glory to God. We ask that you let the tongues fly, let the prophecies go. We ask that you stir up the spirit of each one of us that's listening. Again, make me usable and use me, Lord. I need to decrease so you may increase. Speak through me in such a way that your children, including me, I'm your child too, that we all should hear your voice and not my words. We love you, Lord, and we ask that you help us to show you that. Please move in a mighty way. And for those that you have handpicked to watch this, bless them. And there's some that want to hear this that are having a problem with their internet. And I know that because you're the one saying that. So I'm asking that you loose their internet, that they may be done right now, and be fed. In Jesus' name, I thank you and I pray. Amen. A friend of mine, a prophetess, we were talking about how Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they gave their statement, and he said, well, who do the people say that I am? When he asked this, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they answered, and then he said, who do you say I am? And they answered, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for no one has revealed this to you but the Father. The Father has revealed this to you. You know who I am. In John chapter 14, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. And he said, I've been with you all this time, and you don't know me yet, Philip? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When talking about the deity of Jesus Christ, it is very important that we don't separate the Godhead. Because though we serve a triune God, we don't serve three separate gods, because then that would be polytheism. But what we serve is one God, one true and living God that displayed himself in three ways to those that he's allowed to worship him. As God the Father, he allowed them to understand that he has planned everything before the foundation of the earth were even laid. Before he set his hand to making anything, he already planned it. He planned it that quick and all the way down from the beginning until the end. As God the Son, he came here to act it out, because throughout the Old Testament, people just felt like they were dense. They didn't understand what it took to please God, so he had to come down here and show us, not only show us, but had to allow it to be written so that we can read it now, not only allow it to be written, but also because the devil needed to be challenged, because he had put his hand in things and thought that he was messing up what God ordained, but he wasn't. God put on a disguise. And while he still sat on his throne, he also came down here in the earth realm. That's not hard to understand when you understand the fact that God is not only omnipresent, which means everywhere at the same time, but he's also omnipotent, which means he is almighty. So it was hard for us is not hard for God. It is easy for God to, now you imagine this, each and every one of us Christians all over the world, when we're praying at the very same time, imagine that God is so omnipotent, so almighty, that he is able to hear us distinctively, because that takes a certain kind of power we don't have. And as God, the Holy Ghost, he's keeping everything going now. He's moving through the fivefold ministry. He is exposing the devil. He is defeating all kinds of demons even now. And you hear the Lord use me to say that that homosexual spirit is going to be chased back into the closet, because it is. Because the devil is not going to continue to do what he wants to do as long as God's people are here. See, the devil can mess with his people because they have no hope, and those are his people. But when it comes to God's people, the devil needs permission to mess with us. So you got to understand something, saints. While we are in this earth realm, God is not going to allow the devil to have his way the way he wants to, because the church is here. The body of Christ is here. It's important to understand what happened on the cross. It's much deeper than Jesus being on the cross and dying and raising 3 days later. It's much, much deeper than that. The cross was the way by which we received our salvation, because Jesus Christ laid his life down. And the way he came into this earth was through the womb of his mother, his earthly mother, Mary. Mary was the mother of that body. She wasn't the mother of his divinity, but she was the mother of his humanity. So he came through the womb as every other baby. And Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, says there was nothing about him that would make you look at him and want to follow him. So he came in this earth realm normal. Looking normal, not at all. Even though he had the right to boast and build himself up, he didn't do that. He came humble and lowly. The devil had a problem with this, because the devil said, wait a minute, something about this child, it's something about him. But the devil knew who he was, because he knew that this baby did not belong to Joseph. Man didn't understand that. They said, this is the carpenter's son. But the devil said in the wilderness, if you be the son of God. Now, that's what it says in the English text. But when you go into the Greek, he said, since you be the son of God, because he knew who Jesus was. When it says in Scripture, in verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, that word tumult is from the Greek word theropos, and it means a disturbance, an uproar, a noise. When the people were all chaotic and bugging out, and it just got too intense, Pilate washed his hands, and he said, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. He admitted that Jesus was righteous. Sometimes people will say they believe in Jesus, but yet still live a hellish life. Even though Pilate said that he is innocent of the blood of this just person, he could have stopped it at any time. But what he did is he passed the buck. He said, see ye to it. Y'all handle this. I ain't got nothing to do with it. That didn't exempt him from his part in contributing to the Lord going through what he went through. Then in verse 25, it says, then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Now, this was the Jews saying this. This is one of the reasons why the Jews are in such trouble now, because they rejected the Lord of glory. Yet, there's a certain mercy that is shown to them because they are the chosen people. It's important to understand that. So all this stuff that happened with the big scene being done on the cross, Jesus, the scripture says, he gave up the ghost. He yielded up the Ghost in verse 50 of John, of Matthew chapter 27. And ghost here is, in the Greek, the word is pneuma, and it's from another Greek word, which is nail, which means to breathe hard. In other words, a breeze. So this word pneuma is a current of air. In other words, breath, a blast or a breeze. By analogy or figuratively, this word pneuma means a spirit. In other words, a human spirit or the rational soul. By implication, vital principle and mental disposition, etc., or superhuman, meaning an angel or a demon or divine God. Pneuma, this also refers to Christ's spirit, the Holy Ghost. He gave up the pneuma. The Holy Ghost left that body. And when the Holy Ghost left that body and the body stayed on the cross, lifeless. Now, for those of you scholars that are taking notes, I like to throw this in as God give it to me. It's important to understand that even though we read how the Holy Ghost left the body and we just knew that he laid there lifeless, there also was a natural explanation as to how he died. The natural explanation was his body went into shock. You have to understand the nails that was driven through his hands and the nails that was driven through his feet. These weren't nails like you get at a hardware store. These were the spikes, the stakes that went into train tracks to hold them down. These were driven right through him with no anesthetic, with no painkillers, no buffering, no aspirin, no Excedrin, no Tramadol, no morphine, nothing. He just had to go through this. His body went into shock. The Holy Ghost left that body. And when he left that body, now you got to catch this revelation, you prophets and prophetesses and apostles. He went back into the earth realm. So imagine everything going one way to the right, from left to right, going one way, right? Coming out of the womb, coming into the earth realm. The Holy Ghost went the other way. He went against the grain. He went against gravity. He went through a door that no human could go through. He did this on his own. He walked right back into the spirit realm. So imagine everything going from left to right, and the Holy Ghost, he went from right to left. So there was a cataclysmic experience. The earth bugged out, if you will. It just bugged out. When he went into the spirit realm, the veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. The earth quaked and the rocks broke. The graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. So they saw these graves just opened and just open, but no movement yet. They noticed that all of this was going on. And after he was resurrected, then they went into the holy city and appeared unto many. But verse 54 says, when the centurion, all they that were with him watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Now, I can close the Bible now because the scripture had already preached a lesson. But it goes further. In Ephesians 4:9, it mentions how he descended into the lower parts of the earth. That was hell. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, it tells you exactly what happened when he went into the lower parts of the earth. It tells you when he went down into hell, demons were down there celebrating. They were happy. They were having a party. They said, yes, we got him. We defeated him. We beat him. We did all of this and everything. Scripture says in Colossians chapter 2, in Colossians chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, scripture says this. I want to read, and I'm reading out of the New Century Version. Can you get it? Chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. God stripped the spiritual rulers and powers of their authority. With the cross, he won the victory and showed the world that they were powerless. Let me read it out of the Contemporary English Version. Therefore, Christ defeated all powers and forces. He let the whole world see them being led away as prisoners when he celebrated his victory. Let me go into the King James Version and read this. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. I like to say, as the Holy Spirit gives it to me, that when Jesus went into the spirit realm, the Holy Ghost, you know, he is called the Spirit of Christ. He is the Spirit of Christ. When he went into the spirit realm, demons in hell, because hell is total darkness. It's very dark in hell. When he went into the spirit realm, darkness was in hell. Demons were celebrating. Satan was on his throne salivating, thinking that, yes, I finally did it. I accomplished something. Ha, ha, ha. And then all of a sudden in hell, there was a light. A light because, and it was odd because in hell, there are no lights. It's total darkness. And the only sounds you hear are weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But they saw a light, and it kept getting brighter and brighter. And Jesus Christ walked up to Satan, and he wasn't nice about it. Revelation 1 verse 18 says he snatched two keys from Satan. He snatched the keys of hell and of death. The reason he did that is because of what he was getting ready to do, which was to go and depopulate the same part of hell. There was two compartments of hell, not departments, because that would mean they were separated. No, compartments meaning they were connected with a chasm between the two. If you remember in the book of Luke, chapter 16, there was a gulf set between them so that those that were on the unsaved part of hell couldn't get over to those that were in Abraham's bosom or the saved part of hell. And those that were in the saved part of hell couldn't cross over and go to the unsaved part of hell. So after Jesus snatched the keys of death and of hell, he went over to the saved part, Abraham's bosom, and he ministered to them. He let them know, I came, y'all. Y'all are those that were waiting for the promise. Here I am. And they saw him, and he ministered to them. And then the angels ushered their souls to the third heaven, because now he was depopulating the saved part of hell. There was not going to be any more saved part of hell. The only way you could get to heaven is to go through Jesus Christ. So that's why he had to minister to them. So he, as they ushered the souls to heaven, to the third heaven, Jesus had to make one more stop as the Holy Ghost. He left hell and he went back into the tomb. He came back into the earth realm. See, it's not odd to know that he snatched the keys of hell and of death, because when he snatched the keys of hell, that meant no more did any Christian that left this world believing in Jesus Christ have to go to hell at all. There was not going to be any more saved part of hell. That was it. It's a wrap. Now those cells, those places, hell is a holding place. It holds souls until the last day when those souls are thrown into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20 verse 12 says death was going to give up the dead that were in them, and hell was going to do it too. So what the Lord did was he took the keys of hell so that way no other Christian, no saved person would have to go to hell when they left this world, and of death, meaning death has no power over us. The older folk used to say death, hell, and the grave, but scripture doesn't support the grave because we all have to go there. Our bodies all have to go in the grave, but our souls, when we leave this world, if we're saved, it goes to heaven where God is and enter into his rest. But if we're not saved, then we go to hell, straight to hell. No stopping, no Walmart to get water, nothing. Jesus depopulated Abraham's bosom, and he preached to them, letting them know he came. And after the angels ushered them, third heaven, Jesus, as the Holy Spirit, entered into the tomb and told the angel, get ready to roll back the stone and he, the Holy Spirit got back into that body. He put that disguise back on. The body was glowing. All the beating, all the marks. The only marks that was left was the nail prints in his hand and the piercing in his side and the nail prints in his feet. He folded up the grave clothes. The part that was wrapped around his head, he folded that up neatly. Part that covered his body, he folded it up neatly and put it there. The angel didn't help him to take off the grave clothes. He did it himself. He picked up his life for you and me. And he told the angel, roll the stone away. And as the angel was doing that, there was an earthquake. Then also, scripture says, and Jesus walked out of the tomb. And when he walked out of the tomb, Mary was already going through her little thing of coming to see him. She ended up looking, going to the tomb and seeing that he wasn't there. While she was going through and wondering where he is and where's his body and all of that, she happened to look up and saw him walking, but didn't know it was him because he didn't let her know. We're going to stop right there. Well, actually, God said go one step further. But when he did let her know, when he said Mary, she knew it was him, then he let her know. And she went to grab him. He said, no, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. And we're going to stop right there. We're going to pick that up another time and talk about that in part two. Why did he tell her not to touch him? All of this was important, connected to who he was. It was very important. The Lord led me to tell the prophets I was talking with that whenever a person is ministering about that scripture where Jesus said, who do they say that I am? You can't just say Jesus the Christ and that's it. I mean, you got to go deep because who he was and is connected to what he did, why he did it, and how he did it, and why he did it the way he did it, and the results, which is now those that have accepted Jesus Christ, eternal life is offered to you. Victory over problems are offered to you. Protection from the enemy is offered to you. The Lord God used me as an evangelist now. God wants all people to know that through Jesus Christ, you are brought into the family of God. Spiritual adoption, meaning by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one that draws you to Jesus the Christ. The Holy Ghost, he is God. Jesus said no man could come to the Son unless the Father draw him, and no man could go to the Father but through the Son. So this is a divine thing, the receiving of eternal life. It is important to understand that. When we pray, do you know the correct way to pray is to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ by the power and the leading of the Holy Ghost? Yes, because he knows what to pray. Scripture says in Romans chapter 8, I'm sure that many of you have read that over and over again. It's a very common scripture and very powerful. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, the Bible says, likewise, the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Ghost, also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, capital S, itself maketh intercession for us with groaning, which cannot be uttered. You intercessors understand that. Oh, God. You prophets and prophetesses understand that. Oh, God. Sometimes you can't even say anything because you're going through so much that all you can do as the Holy Ghost lead is just, oh, God. All you can do is as the Lord lead is just mourn. M-O-U-R-N, you know, because of sadness of what you're going through, yet utter groanings, which cannot be uttered, which means, which cannot be expressed, groanings. There's a deepness in God when it comes to his concern for us.
We can't put these things in words. The Holy Spirit, he is the intercessor. He makes intercession for us. He has to, because the kind of intercession we need, we cannot do. But those of you of the prophetic office, you understand when God wakes you up 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning, and all of a sudden, deep in your spirit, it's heavy, and you begin to just feel a heaviness, not understanding why, but it's because God is venting. He's allowing you to share in his burden, and he is placing people in your spirit. That's why you hear certain names in your spirit. Even people you don't know, you hear certain names. You might hear John. You might hear Betty. You might hear Sally. You might hear a word that says to that man that's outside the store sitting down. You don't know who he's talking to, but the Holy Spirit is leading you to say this. Why? Because there has to be an agreement in the earth being said in heaven. Groanings that cannot be uttered, that cannot be put into words. There's no way to describe them. The Holy Spirit, he gives us the gift of tongues when we're filled with him, so that he can speak to our spirit and cause our spirit to talk to him. Our mind don't understand what we're saying, but to some of us, he gives the gift of interpreting what's being said. Oh, what a joy that is. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I suggest that you read Matthew 27. Again. And I suggest that after that, for therapy and cleansing, you read the book of John. Listen, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray with you right now. Now, you have to say the sinner's prayer on your own. I'm not going to read Romans 10 and 9, one verse, and say, if you just say that after me, you'll be saved, because that's not what it says. The verse says that, but then if you read further down, it says, how can they believe on whom they have not heard? How? How can they hear unless someone preach to them? How? You can't just say, okay, I believe Jesus is the Son of God and God raised him from the dead, and then automatically you inherit eternal life. You have to know who Jesus is. Allow me to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, ask you to forgive us for our sins. I'm asking, Lord, that you touch that soul right now that has tuned to this broadcast because you allowed them to and you led them to. You already have put out the holy hook on your holy fishing pole, and you've already hooked them by your word, and you're reeling them in, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, give them the desire to know you. Give them the desire to give their self to you even more. Give them the desire to love you. In the mighty name of Jesus, reveal yourself to them so that they know who you are. And I ask in Jesus' name that you bring them closer to you, and thank you, oh God, for the work you're going to do in the life of that person that just offered their life to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. For those of you that are saved by backsliding, come on, come under this umbrella. Don't run. Come here, come here, come here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you forgive us for our sins. Again, touch my brother and sister that have backslidden, those that have went back to drinking or smoking or carousing or whatever the case may be, those that have left you, those that have just hung out in the street again, went back to the club. I ask that you get them out of the club. Get them out. Get them out of the club. Parliament ain't never saved nobody. Neither has any of the rappers. DMX never saved nobody. No one. Mace never saved nobody. Pull them away from all of that and pull them close to you. Bring them back to you. Bring them back to you. Back to you, Father. Bring them back to you. You said that no man could pluck them out of your hand. Bring them back to you. Anoint them. I ask that you put a hedge of protection around them. As you bring them back to you, put a hedge of protection around them so that they don't leave you again. Do like you do as a shepherd. Pick them up, hold them close to your bosom, fill them with your love so that they will know that there's no fault in you and that you didn't do anything wrong to them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for bringing them back. Thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you and I pray. Amen. for those that need strength, got you too. Father, in Jesus' name, strengthen my brothers and sisters that are in the ministry and that are following you, that are walking with you, that are being used by you to minister to sheep and lamb. I ask that you bless them, strengthen them, keep them, empower them, anoint them, that you get all the glory, the thanks, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you, saints, and thank you for this time of fellowship. See you again later tonight. When we pick up on why Jesus told Mary don't touch him, in the description on my Facebook wall, again, I like to say there is a link that says for your prayer request, you can leave them on the ministry's website. Just look on the link, it'll tell you the Anointed Prophetic Prayer Corner, or you can call 203-745-8162, 24 hours. It doesn't matter. Never mind the vessel. Call so that we can pray together and God can use me to walk with you. You can write me on Facebook and your name will go in the prayer box in which the Lord uses me to pray for you daily. Every single day without stopping. I don't care how long it takes, 20 years, 30 years. There's people in the prayer box that have been in there since 1994, and God's still using me to pray for them. Also, there's people that have asked how do they share a donation. Any amount would be a blessing. Go on the website, the Word of God, TJC, S&O Ministry, and you'll see where it says your donations and support of the ministry. Help us to help others. Don't close your hand. Open it, and God will bless you. Stop. Open your hand. Let God bless you. Let God bless you. Let him, he said, in being a blessing, I will bless you. So let him bless you. Let him use you in Jesus' mighty name. Go on my Facebook wall, the advertisement for this show, this broadcast. Look down and you'll see it right after the description of the show. You'll see both links where you could be a financial blessing to the ministry and where you can send your prayer request. Okay? I love you and God bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. And have a blessed night and rest and sleep good. And remember, Jesus did go through trial, but there was no error because he is Jesus the Christ, and Christ means the anointed one. I love you, and God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.